Hello, and welcome to Signal Over Noise. I'm Ulrike Hoffmann-Bochardi, CIO for the Americas and Global Head of Equities for UBS Wealth Management. One of the most compelling yet challenging investment opportunities comes after the IPO. To start with the challenging, the average IPO disappoints. About 60% of IPOs yield negative returns over a three-year period, starting from the first market close. But the compelling, a small group of companies become extraordinary wealth creators. 16% of IPOs more than double over 3 years. The IPO statistics by Professor Jay Ritter offer a wealth of data that can help separate the wheat from the chaff. Five data points stand out from Ritter's extensive data room on how IPOs perform after the initial offering. They all come down to one thing: signals that reduce the uncertainty about the company's future. At the time of the IPO, the company and its executives are not well known to public investors. The academic literature calls this asymmetric information. The company knows much more than the prospective investors. That is true for public companies too, but public investors have a much longer history to judge how a company performs after years in the public markets. So here are five criteria that matter for IPOs based on 45 years of history from 1980 to 2024. 1. Larger companies perform better. Companies with $100 million or more in revenue, measured in 2025 dollars, have performed much better than companies with $100 million or less. We are talking about a staggering return difference of 36% versus 5% over 3 years. And this is intuitive. Companies that have reached scale have much less risk of business failure. 2. Profitability matters, especially for small companies. For companies with less than $100 million in revenue, profitability is extremely important. The clear take: if you cannot signal with revenue scale, signal with profits. Profitable small companies return 25% in 3 years after the IPO, whereas unprofitable ones return losses on average. For large companies, profitability also helps, but not to the same extent as for small ones. Bottom line, revenue scale and profits have historically been good signals for strong long-term performance. 3. Technology IPOs do better than average IPOs. Technology companies have been strong drivers for equity return in public equity markets. Similarly for IPOs, tech companies have shown more than double the three-year performance than non-tech companies, excluding the period of the dot-com bubble from 1999 to 2000. So the same secular trends apply to newly minted public companies as they do to the broader stock market. 4. Venture capital-backed IPOs perform better than non-backed ones. The average 3-year buy-and-hold return after an IPO was 22% for VC-backed companies, compared to 18% for non-VC-backed ones. So due diligence by venture capital firms pays off, and they do a good job of finding companies with lasting potential. 5. Dual-class share IPOs do better than single-class share IPOs. This is an interesting and maybe counterintuitive finding. Many institutional investors and global asset managers oppose dual-class shares. Dual-class shares are typically designed to let founders and insiders maintain voting control, even after selling off the majority of the economic stake. What's interesting, though, is that dual-class share IPOs return 30% over 3 years, versus only 19% for single-class IPOs. One possible reason? Dual-class shares allow visionary founders to execute long-term goals and insulate them from short-term demands of investors. Lots of numbers in this Signal Over Noise episode. They all boil down to five features that matter: revenue scale, profits, technology, venture-backed, and dual class. They should not replace the analysis of company fundamentals, of course. But with what looks like to be a busy IPO period ahead, these five attributes may help filter where long-term value can accrue. With this, stay well and stay ahead.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.